Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Moral of the story. Moral of the story.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, you join us once again in our silsila entitled Moral of the Story. This is that silsila in which Alhamdulillah we take a story, a narration or a waqia from either the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the teachings of the Holy Quran, from the hadith, from the lives of the scholars, the awliya, or the great pious ancestors that have passed. And we take that story, the first part of the silsila is we take it and we study the story, learn from it. And then the second part of the silsila is when we try to derive some lessons from that story that we can learn and apply in our lives as well. Today's story is a very interesting story. Inshallah, before we move towards that, we always start our silsila by mentioning a blessing or a virtue of reciting Durood and Salam upon the noble messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Thus the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has said that there are three types of people that will find shade on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection. And remember, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, that day when people will be drowning in their own sweat, when the sun will be so close, the ground made of copper. On that day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that there are three people who will find shade. The first is that person who removes the difficulty of a fellow Muslim. The second, that person who revives my sunnah, meaning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third, that person who recites durood upon me in abundance, abundantly. So these are things that we should bear in mind as well. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq to recite durood pak abundantly during our lifetime. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today's story that we're going to study, my dear Sami, is a very interesting story. You'll have heard every now and then on the news that there's been a murder, so-and-so person has been murdered. There's been this crime that's taken place in this, in such and such a locality, such a community, such a town or such a city. Today we're going to answer the question that on this earth, who was the first person to commit a murder and who was the first person that was murdered? Maybe the answer to that question will surprise you. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this incident and we learn from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Now the first person who was committing the crime of a murder in the earth, on this earth, in the dunya, was Qabil. And he murdered whom? He murdered his brother Habil. Both of them being the sons of Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Amazing as to how both of them being sons of Sayyiduna Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now how this happened, what was the reason behind it? It says that when Sayyiduna Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha would conceive, she would conceive twins every time. Yeah, every time they would give birth, it would be twins. One would be a boy and one would be a girl. And what would happen is that every time they would give birth, the boy and girl would be considered brother and sister. Then the next time they would give birth, they would be considered brother and sister. And the brother or the boy from the first birth would get married to the girl of the second birth, and in this way the family would grow and the lineage would continue. So as per procedure, the boy from the one pregnancy was to marry the girl from the second pregnancy. Following this tradition, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam wished to marry Qabil, one of his sons, with the girl that was born in the second pregnancy. However, Qabil showed discontent over this decision. Why? Because he wanted to marry the girl that was born at the same time as him. Why? Because she was more beautiful. She was prettier. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam tried to explain to his son Qabil that although, yes, she was more beautiful, he could not marry her because she was born with him. And therefore she is his sister and he cannot marry his sister. But Qabil, he was stubborn, very stubborn over this issue. He wanted to get married to her. And so finally, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he said to Habil and Qabil, both brothers, he said to them that both of you give a sacrifice in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whoever's sacrifice is accepted, that person shall marry this girl. Now in them days, the sign of acceptance of a sacrifice was that fire would descend from the sky and would engulf the sacrifice. So as agreed, both brothers gave a sacrifice. Habil gave sacrifice of a goat. Qabil gave sacrifice of some grains of wheat. Both of them placed it out in the open. And then what happened is, after some time, the fire from the sky engulfed the sacrifice of Habil, but it left the wheat grains of Qabil. What did that mean? That meant that the sacrifice of Habil had been accepted, the sacrifice of Qabil had not been accepted. And thus, according to the rule made by Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, it was Habil who was therefore entitled to marry this girl. Yet Qabil, still he was stubborn. So stubborn that he became jealous of his brother Habil, and he threatened Habil that I will kill you if you don't allow me to marry this girl. And Habil said to Qabil that, look, the acceptance of sacrifice was not my decision. We both placed our sacrifice. Allah Ta'ala chose to accept my sacrifice. That was not my decision. That acceptance was from Allah Azza wa Jal. And maybe Allah Azza wa Jal accepted my sacrifice because I'm more pious than you. Had you been more pious, Allah Azza wa Jal would have accepted your sacrifice. Furthermore, Habil also said to Qabil that if you raise your hands to kill me, I will not respond. I won't raise my hand against you. He says that I want my sins as well as yours to be in your account, so that consequently, if you do kill me, that you are destined to the hellfire. At the time that passed, finally Qabil carried out his evil intention and he killed his brother Habil. And he says that at the time of the murder, Habil was 20 years old, and this incident, according to most narrations, took place in Makkah al-Mukarrama. So Qabil killed Habil. And this was the first ever murder to take place on the dunya. The first ever murder was whom? Qabil. The first victim of murder was whom? Habil. It says that when this murder took place, the land and the earth continued to jolt for 7 days. There was continuous earthquake in the dunya. Because such a big incident had taken place, every creature was plunged into turmoil. Following the murder, Qabil, who previously had a fair complexion and he was handsome, he says that after committing the murder, he turned black and ugly. And this incident that happened, it grieved Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam so much. He was so grief-stricken by the death of his son Habil that it says that he did not smile after this for 100 years. After this, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam dismissed Qabil from his court, and he was angry with him and he cursed him. The accursed Qabil then carried out and he got married to the girl of his desire, and he went to Yemen. Iblis approached him and tempted him that the reason behind the fire eating the sacrifice of Habil was that he used to worship the fire. Therefore, you too should erect a temple and worship fire. And therefore, Qabil not only was the first murderer in the dunya, he then became the first person who began to worship fire as well. And it has been mentioned in Blessed Hadith that from this day forth, from that day onward, all of the unjust bloodshed that would take place over the surface of the earth, Qabil will be a major stakeholder in that sin, because he was the first one to commence this sin on the dunya. Now, my dear Islamic brothers, there are many, many beautiful morals that we can take from this story. Many lessons that we can learn from this story. Those lessons which are relevant today as much as they were when this first murder was first committed. And honestly, please, let's be sincere and try to understand these lessons. Because this is not just a historic narration and a historic story that, applied then and doesn't apply anymore. The lessons from this story apply today as much as they did then. That was the first ever murder committed on the dunya. And if we honestly, truly reflect the reasons behind that murder, what caused the murder, what was the reason, what was the provocation, if we analyze and look at many of the murders that take place today in our homes and the violence on the streets between people and between gangs and between young lads, between family members, a lot of the reasons and the provocations and the motivation are exactly the same. So what lessons do we learn? Number one, that Qabil murdering Habil, the reason was jealousy. And what we learn from this is how jealousy often, it starts as a very small thing, over very, very small matters. And often jealousy can overtake a person to such an extent, it builds so much hatred in a person's heart that he can go and carry out an act that was unimaginable. Jealousy is a very big disease, my dear Sami Buddhist. And a person who is jealous of somebody else, that person is never at peace. If you're jealous of somebody, then what happens is that person, whenever you see him, it brings hatred in your heart. You'll hate the sight of that person. You'll hate it when other people talk about that person. You can't stand it when somebody praises that person. That person is carrying on with his life. He's living as normal, yet this person is suffering. Why? Because he's the one who has jealousy in his heart. And often a person who's jealous, he'll blame the other person. The reason I don't like him, the reason I'm jealous of him is because he does this, 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 and this, and this. What we often don't realize is maybe the problem is inside myself as well. We need to clean our hearts. We need to make our hearts purer. We need to remove the jealousy from our heart and think good of our fellow Muslim brother. And like I said, my dear Sami brother, jealousy starts very, very small. Often over very small things, but that grows and that hatred grows and the hatred continues to grow. Every time you see him, you hate him more. Every time you hear about him, you hate him more. Every time somebody praises him, your hatred for him will grow even more. And then everything he does will annoy you, and you will hate it to such an extent, my dear Sami brother, that you're going to destroy your own life, hating somebody else. And then think about all of the sin that's involved with that as well. So we should take one lesson from here, that jealousy is a very, very bad thing. We need to stay away from it. And jealousy, as in this scenario, often leads people to violence, to murder, to deceit, and to fraud. Just because we don't want to see somebody else be successful. And one other thing I want to mention here before I move on as well. A person who is jealous, we maybe never think about it like this. But a person who is jealous, he is effectively, through his jealousy, is saying or he is showing that he disagrees with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Ta'ala decided what ni'mats, what blessings to give to different people. Some people he blessed with beauty. Some people he blessed with the ability to talk. Some people he blessed with good business. Some with wealth. Some with family. Some with connections. Some with all of these different things. If I am jealous that somebody has this blessing and he shouldn't have it, it should be taken off him, then if in effect I'm disagreeing with the decree that Allah Azza wa Jal has made. And that is a grave, grave sin. And something that we should even comprehend in our minds. Another beautiful lesson that we learn from this story, my dear Sami brothers, is that one of the reasons the first murder took place was a dispute over a woman. How many disputes are there today in our societies between young lads in school and colleges and universities because of women? Because they're chasing after the same woman. It says here that we should seek refuge from Allah Ta'ala to save us from being a victim of such a crime. Being a victim of being so engulfed by lust that we end up falling out with people who we love the most. Another thing that we learn from this waqia is that the innovator of a sinful act, he will be held accountable for his act and anybody who because of him commits the same act as well until the day of judgment. Just think about it, about Qabil, which according to a blessed narration of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that not only will be held accountable for his own murder, but for any bloodshed that takes place on the dunya, he will be a stakeholder in that as well. He may be punished for that on the day of judgment as well. Just think to yourself, my dear Sami brothers, that if I commit an action today that other people see, that other people might get inspired by, that other people might copy and commit sin as well, what if I'm held accountable for that on the day of judgment? These bodies of ours cannot withstand punishment of our own sins. What if we are laden with sins of other people who committed sin because of watching us? This is something to be very careful about as well. And one final message that we get from this. This incident teaches us that it's not necessary for a child of a pious parents to be pious too as well. That the children of pious people can be deviant. Because Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is a distinguished prophet of Allah azza wa jal. But we have read about how notorious Qabil, yani his offspring, some of his offspring were. So my dear son and brothers and viewers of Madani channel, sticking to the theme of this silsila, which is the moral of the story. We've heard about a story today that took place long time ago. Centuries and centuries ago. But the morals from that story are relevant still today. We can learn so much from them still today. About hatred, about jealousy, about fighting over women, about women causing fitna amongst people and amongst family members. We should all be very wary of them and the morals of this story, and we should try to apply them in our lives as well. Let's learn from these narrations. These are mentioned to us for a reason. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves that these stories are from a long, long time ago. Different time, different people, different feelings, different, you know, ways of living, different daily challenges, different issues people are dealing with. No, my dear Sami brothers. You know, many of these stories are mentioned in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned them in the Quran for a reason. They are relevant to us. There are things we can learn from them. There are things in there, if we learn and we act upon them, we can save ourselves from so much evil and save our societies and our communities as well. Why is there so much turmoil in some of our homes and some of our communities? Some of our places where the Muslims live? It's because we've gone away from the message of the Quran. We've forgotten to read the Quran, understand it and take lesson from it and apply it upon ourselves. Inshallah, when we reconnect in that way, my dear Sami brothers, and start the nur of the Quran enters our hearts and our homes, inshallah, we will be successful. And that is the purpose of this silsila, to remind us of these great stories, to give us the encouragement to go and study them further, and to learn from them, and bring them in our homes as well. Rather than telling our children fairy tales all of the time, we should teach them these stories, something that they can take away and apply in their lives, and maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, when your child is old, and he's facing challenges himself, maybe your child will remember this story, and he will learn from it, and he will act upon it. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all tawfiq. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Moral of the story teaches.